Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Our Monday expert is consultant ophthalmologist Arthur Cummings from the Wellington Eye Clinic at the Beacon. And first of all, a general question, Arthur, about the importance of a regular eye examination.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. That's such an important topic. And you know, the one group of people who've got this right are the dentists. And they've taught us over the years the value of a regular checkup. And we know what that value is, and most of us abide by that. We go for a routine checkup because it uncovers things that come down the line. As eye care professionals, we've been less good about that. And the thing is, an eye exam can tell you so much about what's going on with your general health and with your ocular health. You can, if you see things like glaucoma early on, or age-related macular degeneration, or diabetic changes early on, you can manage them up, you know, them much better. You can also get some idea of the general health of the patient. And then,
I mean, you know the expression, the eyes are window to the soul, but you would reckon the eyes are window to the body, that you can tell about the condition of your general health from the eyes.
Absolutely. Now, we're not fantastically good at that. We can see certain things. And if you have diabetes and you have diabetic retinopathy, we can certainly see that. But you can also have diabetes and not have diabetic retinopathy. But what's changing that completely is the use of AI. So AI has been trained to recognize diabetic retinopathy. And during this phase, they told AI, this is a 54-year-old male, look for signs of retinopathy. In time, the photographs, AI could, from the photograph, identify that it's a male or female and age, you know, an idea of the age, which we could never do. I couldn't look at the back of someone's eye and tell you how old they are or whether they're male or female. So AI is going to give us an awful lot of information down the road.
And an eye exam, I mean, people think they go to what used to be called the opticians, I'm not sure what they call them, and they look at the chart. An eye exam is much more than that.
Yeah, an eye exam is not just going for glasses, not at all. So in most optometrists now, they can do a check, a screening check that will tell you whether you need to see someone. And that's exactly what you want. You want to pick these things up early. You know, going back to dentists again, we've got 32 teeth. We only have two eyes, and these eyes are meant to work for your whole life. So we at the clinic sort of say, you only have the two eyes. We need to take care of them for a lifetime. So, you know, come in for your regular checks wherever you go.
Okay, now lots of questions coming in. Could you please ask Arthur if there's any fact in the report correlation between weight loss injections and retinal bleeds?
Yes, Pat, there are. And there are a couple of journal papers, peer-reviewed journal papers, reporting on a couple of things. One is diabetic retinopathy getting worse. One is a condition where you can suddenly lose sight because the nerve stops functioning properly. It's called non-arteritic ischemic optic neuropathy. So there's an increase in those conditions. But no study has ever been done formally. But there's certainly talk in our peer-reviewed journals that this is an issue. So I think it's important when you go on one of those drugs to make sure that you have your GP involved with your, you know, monitoring it.
Well, there seem to be so many people on the drugs that we'll have a very large research sample before too long.
I think you're right. And the other things I hear about it is when you stop taking the medication, then your weight, you know, you pick up the weight again. So people have to be careful with when they decide to that's their best option.
Now, what eye makeup can someone use with if they have blepharitis?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's, I sort of feel sorry for someone who's sitting in that situation because the answer is no eye makeup. There's no current eye makeup that gives you the cosmetic effect you're looking for and at the same time addresses blepharitis. So you've got to use those two separately. First, get the blepharitis under control. And once the blepharitis is under control, so blepharitis, for people who don't know, is an infection of the eyelid margin and the eyelashes. So first get that under control, and once that's eradicated, then start with a new makeup.
Do people use tattoos? I mean,
yes.
they do for their eyebrows. Can they do it for eyeliner as well, I wonder?
Yes, they do. They do, and that works very, very well. I think they repeat them sort of every 10 years or so, but that works really nicely.
Question for Arthur. My partner was diagnosed with chronic relapsing inflammatory optic neuropathy after previous optic neuritis, no MS, no MOG, etc. He's been on steroids and immunosuppressants for 8 months, but the condition is not resolved. We are relocating from the UK to Ireland. What future treatment for Cryon usually, what does it usually involve? Should he be seeing an ophthalmologist, a neurologist, or both? Are there any tests, treatments, or specialists we should prioritize when relocating? Any advice on managing ongoing vision issues when starting treatment in Ireland? That's a very complicated question.
It is, Pat. And it's the first time we've been asked this question ever, so this is, it's rare. But optic neuritis is an inflammatory condition of the optic nerve where you lose initially some lines of vision. You can lose some color vision. And it normally bounces back again once you've been treated with steroids. And the most common cause of optic neuritis is either no cause or related to multiple sclerosis. Now, this person has said specifically there is no multiple sclerosis. So that's what this is, chronic relapsing inflammatory optic neuropathy. So it's a condition that no one really knows what causes it. But as the name says, it's chronic and relapsing. So this is sort of a lifetime thing. And the way to treat this is when it does occur is with steroids for the acute attack, get it under control, and then other methods that, where you can spare the steroids and use other drugs to try and keep the inflammation under control. The problem is when you stop the steroids, it recurs again. So she has a very good question. Who should I see? So ideally, you should have an ophthalmologist who can manage these acute phases. And then the second thing you need to do is have a neurologist or a neuro-ophthalmologist, and even a neuroimmunologist, someone who knows how to deal with immunology, immunological issues, where they can maybe find a treatment where you have the steroids for the acute issues, but there are lots of drugs like methotrexate that the rheumatologists use too, where they can control these immune responses.
A 70-year-old woman has cobweb-like obstructions in vision. What to do?
So that's what we call a PVD or a posterior vitreous detachment. It's quite normal for the jelly to come loose at some point, and it happens anytime from 50 to 80 maybe, depending on your prescription and the length of your eye. And when it comes loose like this, what you do is you see these floaters and these cobwebs and circles, and it's just really frustrating. It does tend to get better over time. The important part about this is when the jelly is coming loose, that's when it has the potential to tear the retina. So what you need to look out for is sudden flashing lights and also a black curtain. So not a grey thing you can see through, not sort of a veil, but rather a black curtain. You can't see what's behind the curtain. That's a retinal detachment, and that you wouldn't see in sort of same day.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
I had laser eye surgery about 18 years ago. My vision is slowly getting worse, and I've been advised that I could have laser eye surgery again, but the improvement would be minor. I hate wearing glasses, but will eventually need to wear them all the time for driving and reading. If I were to have lens replacement surgery, would this fix my long and short sight permanently? That's from Jerry.
So, Jerry, it sounds as though if you had it 18 years ago, that probably what's happening is you're developing an early cataract, and it's not seen as a cataract yet. It's something called dysfunctional lens syndrome, but there are changes in your lens. And that's why you've been told if you do laser surgery now, the improvement would be minor. And, you know, in my mind anyway, is whenever you think about laser surgery, you want to make sure the benefits completely outweigh the risks. And if the benefit's going to be small, it's not worth doing. You'd have two options. The one is to think about doing it now, as long as you're a good candidate and the eyes are healthy. You could do it, but that'll be out of your pocket. Whereas if you're developing a cataract, if you wait until the cataract's bad enough, your insurance covers it. So it's something you'd have to have checked out, see what your risks are, first of all, and how well you're going to do, and then make a decision.
I get the cold sore virus on my eyelid about twice a year. It's an awful process where a GP or VHI clinic can't issue the prescription required and refer you to the Eye and Ear Hospital, which is very limited opening hours. I can tell a GP what I need, but they can't do anything. Is there anything I can do to be proactive about getting medication for this or anything to reduce how often I get the virus?
Yeah, it's a very common problem, this. People who do get the virus, and the virus can present on your lip as a cold sore, anywhere on the face, anywhere on the skin, in fact, and can actually present in the cornea. And then it really becomes a problem where it affects your vision. And anyone who suffers with these will tell you they normally get a warning tingle. They'll get a bit of a tingle sensation in their lip, or in this case, in the eyelid. And when that happens, you can completely abort this by using Zevirax or one of these antiviral creams on the lid. So the next time you go in, or even before that, ask your GP, or if you can't, ask an eye specialist or ask the eye and ear, to prescribe you Zevirax eye ointment, one for the infection you currently have and a second one that you keep and for prophylaxis, for prevention. And if you ever feel the symptoms coming on, you put that in your eyelid and you'll prevent an attack happening.
This one here. I have astigmatism. I'm not suitable for laser surgery. Is intraocular lens surgery an option? I'm 33, wearing glasses since I was 5 years old.
Yes, absolutely. But if someone has astigmatism and is not suitable for laser, there are only two reasons, really. The one's going to be that the cornea is too thin, but the astigmatism is regular, or the astigmatism is irregular, and then you might have something like keratoconus. So you want that assessed by an ophthalmologist who's doing this kind of surgery. And there are other options if the only reason is your cornea is too thin. There's the implantable contact lens that corrects astigmatism very, very well.
Is it advisable to have monofocals or multifocals when having cataract surgery?
So the first thing you need to do with that, it's a very good question and it's a very important part of it, because once you choose a lens, that lens is with you for life. So you first got to define by what success means for you. And if you want to be free of glasses, you have two options. One would be blended vision, one eye far, one eye near. Yeah. That would be with a monofocal. The other would be multifocality. So the first thing we would tend to do is assess your suitability for blended vision. Some people can do it, some people can't do it. If you can't do it, it's not an option. Then we can also assess your suitability for multifocality. We've got a device that simulates it, and you can get an idea if that's going to work for you. So you've got to work what's most suitable for you. But the very first thing you've got to ask yourself is, am I prepared to do anything additional over and above the norm to be free of glasses? How important is that to me?
This is a very interesting one. I'm blind in the left eye, and I have the sensation of sandpaper scratching under my eyelid. I'm taking Hylo Forte eye drops. My question is, could that affect the good eye, resulting therefore in complete blindness?
No. The using Hylo Forte in the blind eye is not going to cause any issue. But what you do want to know is, from your ophthalmologist, is what caused the blindness? How did that occur? Because you do get a condition called sympathetic ophthalmia. It's uncommon, fortunately, but where you get an injury to the one eye, and then you can get a sympathetic reaction in the other eye, we get inflammation. If this happened a long time ago and you've never had anything happen to you, it's pretty unlikely. But if you had recurrent episodes of intraocular inflammation, then it's something you want to be pretty aware of.
Could you ask Arthur if taking glucosamine for joint and muscle pain is detrimental to someone with a family history of glaucoma?
Not that I'm aware of, but it may be. It's best to ask someone who specializes in glaucoma.
Now, this is apropos of something you mentioned a moment ago. Did my laser surgery in 2008. I had monovision. My dominant eye is for distance, my other for reading. I'm in my 50s and I still don't need reading glasses. I never looked back. And the reason he's telling us is because you did the surgery.
That's nice. I also have monovision. We both do.
My regular eye test found choroidal melanoma. I had cataract surgery about 6 weeks ago. At the checkup, they said I had a swelling at the back of the eye. I'm on two drops four times a day. Is this something to worry about? I'm not sure if they're two separate questions, actually.
I think they are. To me, it sounds like the swelling at the back of the eye is something we call CME, cystoid macular edema. It's quite common after cataract surgery. Why we don't see it much nowadays is we pre-treat before the cataract surgery with a drug that prevents that. But that swelling goes away, and it's something that you want to discuss with your ophthalmologist, the cataract surgeon. And then a choroidal melanoma is something we're very familiar with. All you need to do is, if someone has said for now that they're not overly concerned, is simply to monitor it. But at some point, if you're not sure, be referred to someone who's a specialist with melanomas. We have someone in the country, a couple of people now really, who is specialist with choroidal melanomas.
I'll do one quick one. My daughter's due to have strabismus surgery in Crumlin Children's Hospital, right superior oblique, left superior rectus. She's 9. I'm nervous about procedure and recovery. How safe is it?
The surgery is very safe, and you know the surgery typically is going to change people's lives. So strabismus surgery is a lineman's surgery to try and make the eyes straight. And she's in Crumlin, she's young. I was once involved with a show where they had all kinds of cosmetic procedures, and one person had squint surgery and rated that as more important than all the other cosmetic procedures, because they could look someone in the eye and the people weren't wondering.
So you are reassuring
100%.
On that front. Okay. Arthur, thank you very much for joining us. Arthur.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.